and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given on Sunday morning, January 1st, 2017, by Tom Job from the book of James, chapter 1.
I want to treat you guys out of, this is from the letter to, of James, chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Father, I do ask you to help us to understand this and just help us to understand a bunch of stuff. I just pray that you would, here at the beginning of the year, that you would give us a heart and a mind to know you, to know your word, to treasure it, and to treasure it as something infinitely precious, and that it would always, every day, do us good. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Happy New Year, everyone. One of the best ways that I could think of to begin the new year would be to just to begin it by learning some things. There's a guy that I've met him a couple of times. His name is Freddie Smith, and he's a disc jockey on the radio station WDVX in the morning, and he has a show called Rise and Shine, which is kind of mostly bluegrass and classic country. But he has a segment. I've learned so many things. It's at 8 o'clock. It's called Things That Make You Go, Hmm. And it's just amazing facts that are just, I've learned so much. And so I just wanted to share with you, this is kind of the highlights of 2016, of things that I've learned from Freddie Smith. Crocodile eggs, if they're incubated above 85 degrees, hatch female. Ferrets, which are the third most popular pet in America, sleep 20 hours a day. 17% of humans, this is in honor of Lee, by the way, because I have shared many of these amazing facts with Lee. 17% of humans are left-handed, and so are 17% of chimps. The middle meal of the day was called dinner, and the last meal of the day was called supper, all the way back to biblical days. A woman uses an average of 6 pounds of lipstick in her lifetime, and the Roadrunner only spoke once in 1952. On the cartoons, the electric chair was invented by a dentist. Sometimes Freddie, when he's giving amazing facts, will add a little commentary. Here's a fact. The entire population of the world's ants is heavier than the entire population of the world's humans. And Freddie said, I actually have an aunt that she kind of proves that whole thing. But for every man in the world, there are 3.5 women. And Freddie said, well, after your third wife, what half do you get on the next one? So every once in a while, Freddie has said something, an amazing fact that has made me just go, I don't know if that's actually true, but for example, one day he was talking about George Washington, and he said, George Washington was not the first president of the United States, he was the sixth, and the first five were not counted. And I thought, I don't think that's true. He said, the first president of the United States died on the last minute of the last hour of the last day of the last week of the last month of the last year of the 18th century. And I checked that one, and that is not true. And so sometimes I've wondered if maybe people just send Freddie stuff, because a lot of his amazing facts come from what people email him, just to see if he'll read it. And so here's some amazing facts that have made me go, I don't think that's really true. Mozart composed a piano composition that in order to play all the notes at one point, you have to use all 10 fingers and your nose. A beaver can hold his breath underwater for 45 minutes. I don't think that's true. Ancient Egyptian doctors cured arthritis by shocking their patients with electric catfish. The largest number of children ever born to one woman was 67. And the lightest adult ever recorded in weight was a 17-year-old Russian woman who weighed, at 17, 4 pounds, 5 ounces. And I just don't think that's actually true, but it may not matter, because they say, what they say now is we live in the post-factual age. Like, in other words, it doesn't really matter if something is true to be a fact. It can have, like, the same effect. And so, like, we've had in this last year kind of a new phenomenon when called fake news, where people just kind of make up news. And when people get their news sources from maybe somewhat less than reliable places, like Facebook, for example. Like, one guy, like, people just make up stuff and put it on Facebook. And one guy who did this, who made up what they call fake news, he said, Facebook is awesome because nobody checks their facts. And people retweet it, and it goes around like flu in the wintertime. So somebody put a thing on there that said a kind of an unexpectedly amazing thing, that Pope Francis had endorsed our president-elect when he was just the Republican candidate for president. And that turned out to be, like, completely true. But I'm completely not true, but a lot of people did believe it. And so there's true news. But it's kind of like, if people say something that isn't true as if it was true, and they say it often enough and loud enough, people will believe it. And that's why in To Kill a Mockingbird in Macomb County, that's why people believed that Boo Radley caught squirrels and cats and killed them with his bare hands and ate them raw. And if your azalea blossoms froze overnight, it was because Boo Radley was walking around at night and breathed on them. And if you eat the pecans from the Radley pecan tree that fell onto the playground of the school, they would kill you. And, you know, so I've been reading some things about why do people believe fake news? Why do so many people believe fake news, which isn't really true news? And it turned out there was a story about a Santa Claus. Some of you probably have read about this. A Santa who was, like, one of those really good Santas, like, you know, he's, you know, weighed like 310 and had his own really, really white beard and all that. And some parents called him to go visit their son who was dying in the hospital. And he went in to visit this little boy. And the boy was dying and asked Santa, how will I know when I get to where I'm going when I die? And he said, you just tell God that you are my number one elf. And the little boy said, will you help me? And he said, sure. And he held the little boy. And he died in Santa's arms. And that story was on the CNN, the BBC, NBC, Time Magazine, USA Today, and the Washington Post. And it started in the Knoxville News Sentinel. And it turned out to be not actually true. But people did believe it. And they said the reason that people believe fake news is true news is because they want to believe it. Like, if you want to believe some things, people will tend to believe what they want to believe, even though it's not actually true. And the reason I'm bringing that up is there is a letter, and I want to talk to, just, you know, share this with you guys in just a few weeks of the beginning of 2017. But there's this little letter of James, and James tells you this is what is going to happen to you in 2017. These are some of the things that you can count on coming your way. you are going to have one, you're going to have problems and unforeseen troubles and difficulties. Two, you're going to have opportunities and invitations to do some things that are very wrong. Three, you're going to have the opportunity, especially with the new technologies, you're going to have the opportunity to give uncensored and unsolicited opinions of yours about a lot of different things. And with social media, to an ever wider audience with an ever diminishing accountability. Four, you're going to have the opportunity to prove whether or not you really are a believer and a follower of Jesus. And depending on how you handle that, you may cause some confusion even to yourself about whether or not you really are. And James says some of that confusion may be appropriate. Five, you're going to need advice and counsel in 2017. You're also going to need, number six, patience to wait for something. And seven, you're going to need help. And it's very likely that you're going to need help with emotional problems. And not only are these the things that you can count on coming your way in 2017, but James also tells us what you should do about it. What do you do when you have unforeseen problems? What do you do when you have opportunities to do or say very bad things? What do you do when you have the opportunity to express an unsolicited opinion? What do you do? 54 times in 5 chapters, there is a moment where James tells us what to do. In the book of Romans, in the first 5 chapters, there's not one. Paul doesn't tell us one thing to do, and James tells us 54 things to do in 5 chapters. This is how you handle it. It's not for everyone. Like, it's not what everyone should do. It's only for people who are believers and followers of Jesus. He uses people who are in the family of God. He uses the word brothers and sisters in 5 chapters 18 times. In 1 Peter, which also has 5 chapters, he only says that word one time. So this is only for people who believe in the one whom James calls our glorious Lord, Jesus Christ, which means that we are those who believe that Jesus, who most people believe was a Jewish peasant who was born in a Judean stable and who grew up in a Galilean village, was also, we believe, that he was also the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. He was Almighty God who came down from glory and became a human being also. And he became an amazing teacher, but he primarily came to suffer and to die. And in dying, to pay for everything that we've ever done or will do that is wrong, and for everything that is wrong with us. And 3 days later, rose physically from the dead and went back into glory. That we believe that message about Jesus, which that's important because the things that James says that we're supposed to do as followers of Jesus, when those things come our way that we can expect to come our way, are not easy. And people who don't follow Jesus don't have to do it that way. And if I'm going to do what James tells me to do when I face those things in 2017, the reason I do it the way God says to do it is because I am a follower of the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important for me to know that the good news is true news. It's important for me to know when I'm following Jesus that he really was God who came to earth to pay for me and win my heart. And he really is risen from the dead. And there actually is someone alive for me to follow. So how do I know? And this may be the most important question I need to answer about the new year and how I'm going to handle the stuff that comes my way. How do I know that the message of Jesus, the good news, how do I know that it's true news and not fake news? Because a lot of scholars believe that actually that whole message of Jesus, that he was also, I mean, they believe that he was, you know, a Jewish person who grew up in Galilee and became a great teacher. But they believe that all that other part of it, that he was God, that he died for our sins, and that he rose on the third day from the dead, they believe that was invented, that it's fake news. It was invented by people who wanted to believe that. And they told that to other people because they said it often and loud, so that people would believe something that they wanted to believe was true. How do I know? How do I know that the good news is true news, that it really happened, and not fake news invented by people who just wanted to believe that and made it up and got other people to believe it? So there's this French guy who, I think he died in 1668, but he was a genius. His name was Blaise Pascal. He discovered a lot of the laws of hydraulic physics and barometric pressure. He invented the syringe. He invented a mechanical calculator, the first machine that could do mathematical computations. He invented the first computer. But he also came to believe in Jesus later on in his short life. And he wrote a lot about why people should believe in Jesus. And he said this: if you have to decide whether the good news is true news, whether it really happened, or whether it's fake news, whether people just made it up because they wanted to believe it, he said, don't worry about that. Just believe it. They called it Pascal's bet. Like, you've got to make a bet. Let's say that you're 50% convinced that the good news was true news, that Jesus really did rise from the dead, and if you believe in him, you go to heaven. And you're 50% convinced that it's fake news, that people just made that up. He said, okay, so you would be better off betting that it's true. He said the scenarios are basically four. 1A, you don't believe that Jesus was God who came to earth and who died for us and rose from the dead, and that if you believe in him, you go to heaven. You don't believe that, and you just believe that we're here by evolutionary processes. One day the universe is just going to burn up, and it'll just be dark and nothing, and that when you die, you just disappear. You believe that, and it turns out that's true. No harm, no foul. Scenario number two, A, B. You believe that the good news is fake news, that people just made it up. And then it turns out it is true. And when you die, you realize that you missed heaven and you really are the biggest loser, you know? And you'll know that forever, that you missed it. Scenario number three, 2A. You do believe that the good news is true news, that Jesus really was God who came to pay for our sins and rose from the dead. And if you believe in that, you go to heaven. And it turns out that is true. Or the fourth possible scenario is that you believe that the good news is true news, and in the end, it turns out to be fake news, and when you die, everybody just disappears and there's nothing anyway. You, if you're 50% convinced it's true, 50% convinced it's fake news, you're better off believing that it's true news. For one, because like after you die, if you were wrong, whatever. But if you were right, you're in heaven. But also, he said, because of the life that you live on earth. If you believe in the good news of Jesus, and it turns out to not be true, and there's nothing after you die, and everybody just disappears, still, you will have had a better life. You would have lived with a sense of forgiveness, which is a great feeling, even though if it's not true, there really isn't any such a thing. You would have lived a life of hope, which even when you die, and it turns out there wasn't any, oh well. But still, it's a great feeling to have it. And you would have had meaning and purpose, which is cool. And you would have been more loving towards people. So if it's 50% true or 50% not true, you're better off just going ahead and believing it's true because it'll be good for you and you'll have a better life, which there is modern sociological research done at Duke University and the University of Washington that show that people who believe are deeply satisfied with their life more than people who don't believe at 28.2% compared to 19.6%. And people who believe have stabler marriages and they live with more hope and they do more good to other people and their immune system is stronger and they have less colds in the winter. So just go ahead and believe it. If you're 50-50, just go ahead and believe it because it'll make your life better. And James also says, like the book of James is probably the first book of the New Testament written. And it was written when almost all of the followers of Jesus were Jewish. And so the book of James has a real Jewish feel about it. And one of the things that he talks about a lot is wisdom. It's very important to him. And wisdom to a Jewish person isn't how to know the secrets of unlocking esoteric mysteries, but wisdom to a Jewish person is what do you do when you're living your daily life? What do you do when you do have a problem you didn't expect? What do you do when you do have an opportunity to do something wrong? What do you do when you do have the opportunity to express your opinion? What do you do? How do you live your daily life? There's a book of the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, that's exclusively about that. Wisdom, how do you live your life? Just like James says. And at the beginning of Proverbs, there's several times where he says that wisdom was with God in the creation of the earth, and that wisdom is part of the DNA of creation, and it was woven into the fabric of creation such that when you live your life the way God says you should, it'll just be better for you. So Pascal basically said, you should believe it because it's better for you. You should believe it because you want to believe it. In other words, whether or not the good news is true news or not, go ahead and treat it like fake news. Believe it because you want to believe it. He was about 2.7 million times smarter than me. And I hesitate to disagree with him, but I see a little glitch in that thing. Like, if I believe the good news, whether it's true news or not, I treat it like fake news. I believe it because I want to believe it, because it'll make my life better. And that's why I believe it. What happens when I believe the message of Jesus, I believe the good news, and it makes my life worse? Because that is what happens to our brothers and sisters around the world. That because they believe the good news is true news, it's given them problems that they never anticipated. The loss of jobs because they believe the message of Jesus. I was talking to a Mexican guy one time who snuck into the United States when he was 17. And he was supporting his family in Mexico, and he came to know Jesus as his savior. And he got involved with a mission called Operation Mobilization in Texas. And he just really, really grew and was serving the Lord. And one time, they felt the Lord calling them to go into Mexico to work in this town. And he felt the Lord calling him to go. But he knew that when he came back across the border, he could be stopped and his documents could be checked, which he did not have. And he could be excluded from the life that he had built in America. It was a problem that he would not have had if he had not accepted Jesus. But he went. And he spent 2 weeks in Mexico with OM. When he got back, everybody came through the checkpoint. They were all praying for him. And the control guard, the border guard, asked him for his documents. He said, "I don't have any." He said, "You've lived in America without documents?" He said, "Yes." "Why did you come to Mexico?" "To work with Operation Mobilization and to serve Jesus." "So you love Jesus?" He said, "Yes, I do." "And you serve Jesus?" "Yes, I do." "We need more people like you in America. Go on through." So he did. He did go on through. But there are a lot of people who believe that the good news is true news, not because it's made their life better, but in spite of the fact that it's made their life worse. And it may do that for you and me. You may have conflicts with family. You may be excluded in ways that you've never dreamed because you're walking with Jesus Christ. So I need to know, when I face the things that are coming my way in 2017 and decide I'm going to do them Jesus' way, I need to know that the good news is true news and not fake news. And I'm just believing it because I want to believe it. And I'll tell you this, the reason that I believe more than any other reason, I think, one of the main reasons that I believe that the good news is true news and not fake news is that the first people who believed that Jesus was risen from the dead were not people who initially wanted to believe it, but people who didn't want to believe it. Like all of the first Christian followers of Jesus who worshiped Jesus, they worshiped Jesus, they were all Jewish. It's unthinkable for Jewish people, the concept of Jewish people worshiping, they worshiped the one true invisible God. That they would worship a human being was unthinkable. It was obnoxious to them to think about, but they did, because they saw him risen from the dead. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 3 and 4, it was an early creed, one of the earliest what we call creeds. This is what we believe as the followers of Jesus. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was buried, who was raised again on the third day, according to the scriptures. But there's a creed that's even earlier than that, that Paul quotes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that says, this is what Christians have always believed for the last 20 years, because that's how long it had been. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day, according to the scriptures. And he was seen among other people, he said, by 500 people who became followers, and Paul said, some of them are still living. They worshiped him because they saw him. Somebody said, if you interviewed everybody who saw Jesus risen from the dead, who initially didn't want to believe that, but who wound up believing it because they saw him risen from the dead, if you entered them 15 minutes apiece, if you had let's say you had a 10-hour day, Monday through Saturday, six-day week, 10-hour day, take an hour for lunch, and you interviewed them at 4 an hour, it would take you from Monday to Friday, to Saturday of the first week, Monday to Saturday of the second week, all day Monday and half the day on Tuesday, to talk to everyone. And the guy who wrote that, the Apostle Paul, he didn't want to believe it. It was making him nuts that people were saying that Jesus, this Galilean peasant, was the Messiah, that he died for our sins, that he was risen from the dead. He was throwing people in prison. It was making him so crazy that they were doing it. And then something changed. And he became the greatest thinker and theologian and lover of Jesus of all of time. And it was because he saw Jesus risen from the dead. He didn't want to believe it, but he had to. And he said in that confession in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, he also appeared to Cephas. Cephas, that's one thing that tells us this is a very, very old, early Christian creed, because Cephas is the Aramaic name for Peter. When they still used his Aramaic, when he was still using his Aramaic name, I mean, he knew what it would cost him to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. But he saw him, and he believed it, and he experienced things he had never experienced. He was arrested. He had never been in jail. He was beaten. He had never been beaten, and he was threatened with worse. And they told him, stop talking about this. And he said, you have to decide for yourself if we obey God or obey you. But we cannot stop talking about what we have seen. I didn't want to believe it, but I have to believe it. And Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 15, in that old creed, that he appeared to James. There were two followers of Jesus named James and John, but it wasn't that one. When Jesus was born to Joseph and Mary, they had never had, you know what I mean. And it was a miracle that he was conceived. But after that, they had a normal life. They had at least four boys and at least two girls who were half-brothers and sisters of Jesus. And the boys, Mark says in their in Mark chapter 6, the boys' names were James and Joseph and Simon and Judah. They did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. They made fun of him for it. I mean, think about it. Kind of growing up with Jesus, you know, who was perfect as a kid, you know, in third grade. Never, you know, never had a fit, never, you know, James is like, gives Jesus, I know you know the answer to this. What's the answer to number 7? I don't know how you know these things. You know everything. And Jesus is like, come on, man. You know? It says in John, in Mark chapter 3, at one point, Jesus' brothers came to arrest him. because along with their mother, they thought he had lost his mind. They didn't believe in him at all. And then in Acts chapter 1, when everybody who had believed in the Jesus risen from the dead were all together, they were there. His brothers were there. And Paul said it's because at some point after Jesus rose from the dead, before he ascended into heaven, he appeared to his half-brother James. Maybe he walked into the carpenter shop up there at Galilee and they both sat down. And James said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I didn't believe you were risen. By the way, I'm sorry for a whole bunch of stuff that I did to you when we were kids. He didn't want to believe it, but he had to believe that the good news wasn't fake news, but true news. And he's the one that wrote the book of James, who says when we face the things that are coming to us in 2017, let's do these Jesus way, because we didn't make this up. He is alive. He is with us. This is true news. Lord, we thank you for the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can believe in him with all of our heart and all of our mind and be completely and totally convinced that the message of Jesus is absolutely true. And you're waiting for us to let our hearts just go with this, go for it, with complete abandonment, because it's true. In your precious name, amen.
When life seems to roll like a storm out of control, there is so much I don't know that is in your plan. Every star, and you place them where they are, every beat of every heart.